This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. I think it's safe to say that the goal of most of the people listening to this program today is to live a long and healthy life, both long and healthy. How do we do that? Well, I've decided to ask the experts, and I've found three at the Williamsport Retirement Village here in Williamsport, Maryland. We're about an hour's drive from both Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. My guests are an occupational therapist of the village and two of its residents. I think what they have to say will help us all achieve our goals. Let's begin with the occupational therapist. I'll let him introduce himself and share how long he has served here at the Williamsport Retirement Village.
Good afternoon. My name is Christopher Nyack. I am the occupational therapist here at Williamsport Retirement Village. I've been serving the community for just under 3 years now, and in a nutshell, I'm happy to be here.
Now, you are in a unique position. You watch people come and go here. What do you find is the biggest challenge that most people are facing as far as occupational therapy is concerned, and what caused them to have to need your services?
Some of the biggest challenges, I would say, is determining how one understands the need for them to be able to complete most of their immediate self-care needs, active daily living tasks, if you call them, at a modified independent rate. We all understand how important it is for us to do for ourselves, but then really realizing that sometimes it's not always about being able to do it exactly the same way, but modifying the approach so you're able to stay in the game longer.
What makes them unable to do what they used to do before?
Well, I think just like any other aspect of our lives, we just want to be able to do things like we always do it. And unfortunately, our bodies decay and run down and go on the decline. So we're really in a game of delaying here. How we approach that delay, it's up to the interpreter. My job is basically to help restorate, modify, or even compensate in some cases for some of my cohorts here. I think it's just human nature, understanding and coming to terms with modification.
In your relationship with people and listening to their stories and listening to where they have come from in their lives, is there anything that you have discovered that is a detriment to their lives that caused them to need more of your services? Or are there things they can do in their lives leading up to coming here that can help them not need your services quite so much?
Well, obviously, taking care of your body is huge. You know, our bodies are a temple. We need to respect them. Everybody's built a little bit differently. You know, their genetic makeup really dictates how things are going to go for them. But you can't steer wrong if you are exercising regularly, and not just on a physical nature, but cognitively as well. Staying social within your community. Social participation is important. Being able to regulate your emotions and having that camaraderie with your peers. Having those peer supports, our brains decay just as much as our bones do, the gray and white matter, on a neurological end. Life expectancy here, especially in the United States, is just growing and growing. So now, as we're getting older and older, our older adulthood population participants are just that more susceptible to achieving dementia and things of that nature. So once upon a time was very much, how do we prevent heart disease? How do we prevent COPD? But now we look at things on how do we keep the brain and the mind as sharp as possible, because the cognitive status is on the decline as well.
And how do we do that? What are the secrets to keeping our minds as well as our bodies sharp?
Well, it's no secret or rhyme or recipe. The sheer nature of keeping it engaged. You know, obviously, you don't want to sit at home. And I think it's really easy for a lot of older adults to kind of come a little bit of a recluse because they're maybe more tired, or they just don't have the energy to go out and engage the community like they used to when they were a lot younger. You get into that kind of cycle, it's easy to not talk as much or not engage people unless they're your immediate family members or cohort, someone who has to be there. You get in that kind of rut, it makes it a little bit easier for you to kind of shut parts of your brain down or allow parts of your brain to slow down. I think if you're able to hang out with your friends, maybe even go to day programs, even, you know, do some Sudoku, some crossword puzzles, things that keep the mind sharp, allowing those neurons to fire off and give you the ability to keep on reasoning, keep up with your executive functionality. All those things, you know, you can't go wrong.
Another of our guests here today is the resident, Josephine Benton, and I'll let her... It's not polite to ask a woman how old she is, so I'll let you share it instead. I will not ask you, but you can share it if you want to.
All right. I am 91 years old.
91 years old. Now, you've been sitting here, and you've listened to Chris, yes. And he's a young guy. Yes. Is he right, what he said? Does it make sense?
Sure, it does. We have to keep using these brains, and they do deteriorate. I mean, you're trying to think of the name of someone that you've known for a long time or something like that, and it just goes from you.
What did you find in your life that you're glad you did that now that you're 91 years old and you look back at your life and say, boy, I bet you one of the reasons I'm 91 years old is... what?
Well, I'm thankful I had two little boys, two sons that grew up. I think having them and then the contact with them all through the years till now is very important to me.
Now, for those who are listening who do not have sons and they don't have family, yet they want to live to be 91 and 3 and 4 and 100, what should they do?
They can look around and they can find a substitute. They can find people who need attention and who will appreciate their attention, but they have to look for the people.
Very good. Our other resident here, and I'll let her say how old she is because she looks like, what, 35, 40 years old? Okay. Her name is Helen Ridenour. And Helen, how old are you, if I may ask?
Well, I was 14 yesterday.
You were 14 yesterday. Okay, now how old are you today?
I jumped up to 87.
You are 87 years old. Now, you've listened to Chris and you've listened to Josephine here talk about what made it possible for her to live 91, and he says what makes it possible for anyone to have a healthy life. What worked for you?
I always try to live a good life, eat properly, and don't gorge or anything like that to keep your weight low. Exercise and run around and keep entertained with playing cards or whatever all the time. I'm just busy, busy, busy.
Well, you're saying busy, 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 and Chris says that's what you need to do. Stay busy, busy, busy. You say you lived a good life. How would you describe a good life? What was good about it?
Well, several things. I never bothered to smoke. I never bothered to drink. And I had a large family, and we all kept entertaining each other. I was from a family of seven children. And then, of course, I have oodles and oodles of relatives, nieces, nephews, and so forth. And I keep in touch with all of those. And I have one special brother, and he takes care of me while I'm in here. And we're in contact with each other several times a week. But I say any of those things would help keep your mind occupied.
Well, I'm seeing a couple themes here. Chris began it by saying to stay active and to stay doing things with your mind and your body. And then the both of you say that how important family is. Let me go back here to Chris. Chris, how do you here at Williamsport Retirement Village become a family for the people that live here? You know how important it is. They know how important it is. What do you do to become a family here?
Well, I think for a lot of the long-term care residents and even the assisted living, it's easy to develop that relationship when you are coming in and day out working on the immediate needs of some of these residents. It takes a very, very humble heart to come in and help a female, catch them in their most vulnerable state and be humble enough to help them in the most care that they possibly need. You get that kind of camaraderie, or you experience that one too many times, it's easy for barriers to be broken. It's easy for people to determine said person's value. And then, you know, you get past a lot of the social norms and it kind of clicks. Mm-hmm. It's the age old saying, time heals, time allows things to develop, mm-hmm. Time finds a way. And furthermore, for people that don't have the biggest families or don't have families that are reachable, I wanted to just pinpoint on the fact that being able to develop on a social participative end, your peers come in tenfold on that end. You spend time with people who are at the same level as you or traveling the same avenues as you, and it becomes a little bit easier to fill those gaps.
What I hear you saying is that family does not necessarily mean blood relatives. It can mean just a friend can be a family.
Absolutely.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Whatever they're suffering with, needing weight loss, having a health issue.
We see so much chronic disease. We see so many people that are taking so many medications.
The idea of using scripture as a biblical prescription for life, I was able to take this physical and spiritual connection and apply it to my life in a huge way.
To me, I think the most successful aspect of this Bible study is the simplicity of it.
The book itself is just amazing.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I'm a physician who's privileged to be used by God to bring people out of despair and onto the path of lifelong wellness using a plan that is evidence-based and uniquely biblical. It doesn't matter where you're starting from, discovering God's simple, sustainable, biblical prescriptions for life will work for you.
Biblical Prescriptions for Life is a product of Heartwise Ministries. Start your journey on the path to healing today. Visit biblicalprescriptionsforlife.com.
Somewhere in the world, someone needs healing. He or she has just spent a restless night fighting chronic illness or fear. Hope is fading. The future is dark. And then something amazing happens. They hear a radio program called Heartwise, or watch a television program called The Ultimate Prescription, or perhaps they stumble upon the website heartwiseministries.org, and suddenly they realize that they don't have to be sick anymore. They can alter their lives through simple yet powerful lifestyle changes. Hope is renewed, and the fear and sickness subside. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries. This scenario takes place daily because of your support of this ministry. When you go to heartwiseministries.org and pledge your support, you're helping bring healing to a sick world through information and education. Your partnership creates a profound difference in the lives of people none of us will ever meet. Take a moment, bring healing to someone else in the world. Thank you.
We're here at the Williamsport Retirement Village in Williamsport, Maryland, and our guests today are Chris Nyack, he is the occupational therapist here, and two residents, Josephine Benton and Helen Reidenauer, and one is 91 and one is 87, and these ladies are here to help you, listener, live a long and healthy life. I'm so glad they're sharing with us today. Let me ask you a question here. You have lived all these years. Have you noticed that there's anything particular nutrition-wise that you've eaten that has been proactive for your health? We talk a lot about nutrition on this program. What kind of nutrition advice would you give to people who want to live that long and healthy life? Let's begin with you, Josephine.
I am and have been all my life a vegetarian, and that certainly has affected the food that I've taken in. I've been careful to try to get good food and eat it regularly. Some people are careless about the regularly part, but it's good to have times when you plan to eat. You may not be very hungry, you may not eat very much, but you keep those habits up. We enjoy eating with people here at the Retirement Village. We have a table to sit at. We always sit at that table. Like I sit with my friend beside me here. So the experience of eating and enjoying eating and knowing it's good for you is very important. It takes some self-control. You can have desserts and be quite good to yourself, but need to just stay with it. If you get some advice that something is not good about your diet, why modify it?
Very good. How about you? What is your feeling on nutrition? What have you found works for you, and what have you found not works for you?
Well, I try to avoid fats. I don't go for fats, and I'm very conscious about quantity or amount I eat. Like she said, it helps to have a friendship at the dining table. We all discuss various things.
I think the way we can sort of substitute that type of camaraderie in a meal is to, when we're younger, eat as a family. Would I be on the right track there? Is that important for us to eat as a family?
This is our family here, and I think it's important. I certainly wouldn't want to eat alone. I know a lot of these patients get their meals served in their room, and that would really bug me.
Very good. I want to ask you some personal questions here. A lot of our listeners listening to this program, they may be getting along in years, and they are fearing leaving their home and going to a retirement village or a nursing home, or their children are just dreading the fact that that may happen. What do you say to those listeners right now who are getting up in years, or their children? Is it really that bad to go to a retirement village or a nursing home? Is it something to be dreaded and try to stay away from?
No, I think my son, I have two sons, and one lives far away, but one lives here close, 6 miles away, and he and his wife come. I'll hear a gentle knock on my door, and I'll look up, and there they are, and they've come to take a walk with me, and they plan me into their lives, and so I don't miss out on having family.
They plan me into their lives. I love that statement right there. How about you? What was your experience like?
Well, when I came in here, I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. They put me up in therapy first, and then they brought me down here, and I was told that I probably would never be able to go home because I didn't have close relatives of my own that could take care of me. So I have not had any problems with it. I'm satisfied, and like I say, I'm really content.
Have you discovered anything that helps, Chris, make the transition from independence to sort of a life of dependence here?
There's no rhyme or reason, because every person that comes in has a different perspective on what they really should be doing for themselves versus the other person. 9 times out of 10, half the battle is reaching the individual and understanding what their truest values are, how they really see themselves. And then learning how to take those two aspects and putting them together while trying to find the best way to compensate for their needs. Like Ms. Helen here was saying, it was determined that she wouldn't be able to go home. Not because she shouldn't go home, but the resources were not available. And the assistance that she needed wasn't there. So here we are giving an opportunity, a compensatory strategy to be in the assisted living. And she is thriving. She is thriving. A lot of times, I think there's a lot of fear for the older adulthood population of, you know, slowing their roll. No one wants to slow down. I get it. But we're talking about quality of life versus life in general. A lot of people do leave the rehab unit because they don't want to stick it out here and they want to go home. And then they end up just returning because they go home and very significantly slow down because they don't have the help at home or they can't really do it. And they're not in a precision of fit. Being in assisted living, these ladies have what they need to get the day done any way they want.
You just said something. I like that. You said the quality of life. Apparently, we need to say that there are different levels of quality of life. We may not have this one at the very top, but there's still quality of life available at different levels. Am
yes.
I right?
Yes. And you know, that's almost subjective to anybody. Everyone has their own life experiences. They've determined what's appropriate for them and what's not. And yes, their quality of life, that's always going to be a varied approach. When working with people here and people that are listening to this right now, you all will know exactly what you want and don't want. But to transition from the hospital and spend some time in a rehab unit and then kind of find out that going home isn't the best option, it isn't the end of the world.
I like that, because you're identifying that quality of life still exists. It may not exist exactly the same way subjectively, but it still exists. And Josephine, how would you define quality of life?
Well, quality of life includes how satisfying life is to you day to day, and anticipation of the future, thinking about the past. Your quality of your life is many, many aspects, and you can help it when you get into bed at night by choosing what you'll think about. You can make contacts that will improve the quality of your life.
And you, Miss Helen, what does quality of life mean to you?
Well, it means you need to get out and exercise. And I crawl in the bed all day like some of these patients do. And I say I do plenty of exercising. And I can like to continue with good food, good visitors. I have a brother comes faithfully every Sunday, and I know to expect him after their church services. He concentrates on me then. But I say that helps with my quality of life.
I want you to use your imagination here in our closing minutes of the program. What advice would you give to a young person? Let's say that person is this man's age here, Chris's age, okay? Here's a strapping 32-year-old man. What advice would you give to him, a person like him? He probably does all these things, but what would you give to a person like him to assure that the quality of life will be there when they reach 91 years old or 87 years old? What would you say to him?
Well, let's see. Keep thinking what is important to you and be sure that those things are on your agenda. Either you are doing some of that now or you are planning it if it requires you to go to school or something like that. But just watch out for opportunities to be alive and be involved and then rejoice about it.
Oh, man, that is fantastic. And you, Miss Helen?
I'd say keep on the sunny side of life. Don't be a grouch and always be positive, that's right. Because there are some that aren't that way. Everything's a big deal or a big problem and I can't do this and I can't do that. And I try not to get in that channel.
These are well-earned words I'm hearing. And let's end with Chris here. What advice would you give to your peers, someone your age who looks down the road and says, I'm not going to ever have problems like that. I don't want to have problems like that. What do you say?
Honestly, I think I would tell a lot of my peers, cohorts, to drink in the moments they have right now in this day and age in today's society because it's going quickly. I think life today puts a lot of strain on today's youth to grow up fast, and the payout isn't worth it. With that being said, I think by being able to enjoy your time now and live in the moment, there needs to be a balance. Like what Mrs. Benton is saying over here is watch out for opportunities and know thyself. Find your values and harness them and stay true to them. You know, stay the path. Because as you get older, you will slow down. Not by much, but you will. So being able to determine the proper modifications you need to make to keep up with your truest values, whether it's you in a nursing home or at home, you're just able to keep on keeping on.
Hmm. We are sitting here at the Williamsport Retirement Village listening to words of wisdom from people who know what they're talking about. They work with elderly people or they happen to be elderly people, and I take their words very seriously. I want to thank you, Chris Nyack. Thank you, occupational therapist here, a resident Helen Ridenour, 87 years old, and Josephine Benton, 91 years old. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. You have given us wonderful words of wisdom and guidance. Thank you so much. Until next time, this is Charles Mills with guests at the Williamsport Retirement Village, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.